Welcome to the Applied Economic Perspectives and Policy Podcast, a production of Oxford Journals and the Agricultural and Applied Economics Association. Today's podcast features a discussion between Spiro Stefano and Craig Gunderson about a recent featured article published in AEPP. If you are interested in reading the article or learning more about AEPP, visit aepp.oxfordjournals.org.
Welcome to the Applied Economic Perspectives and Policy Podcast Series. I'm Spiro Stefano, Managing Editor of the Journal and Professor of Agricultural Economics at Penn State University. Today we will focus on the recent featured article about Map the Meal Gap, Exploring Food Insecurity at the Local Level, co-authored by Craig Gunderson, the Soybean Industry Endowed Professor of Ag Strategy at the University of Illinois, Emily Engelhard, Director of Social Policy Research and Analysis at Feeding America, and Elaine Waxman, President of Research and Analysis at Feeding America. I'm pleased to have Craig Gunderson with us today. Craig, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
The incidence of food insecurity is of great concern to administrators of assistance programs, such as the USDA-funded Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP program, and local food banks. Policymakers are keenly aware of the negative health consequences associated with food insecurity. Today, we hope you can bring some clarity to the important policy challenges related to food insecurity and the implications for designing programs to address food insecurity in the U.S. So let's start out by having you define, what is a food insecure household?
Okay. So let's begin by first defining what we say if a household is food secure. A household is defined as food secure in the United States if all household members have access at all times to enough food for an active, healthy life. In contrast, then, we say a household is food insecure if at least some household members do not have access at all times for enough food for an active, healthy life.
So how does Feeding America fit into this framework that we're going to be talking about today?
Okay. So Feeding America is the network, it is the umbrella organization for the network of food banks across the United States. And a central goal of Feeding America is to alleviate food insecurity across the country through its food banks. It's a fantastic organization. I can't speak highly enough of the wonderful work that they do there. One of the challenges faced by Feeding America and for its food banks is for a lot of food banks is they didn't have a good sense about what the food insecurity rates are across their service area. So, for example, some of these food banks may serve 25 or more counties within an area, and they would have some sense about the need in areas, but they wanted a more formal way of looking at the extent of food insecurity within their service area. And so Feeding America, through their technical advisory group, which I'm a member of, they came to me and said, well, how might we be able to approach this issue? How might we be able to give this information to food banks? And one of the reasons why information isn't available is that the current population survey, which gives us the information about food insecurity rates at the national level, for most counties does not have a high enough sample size such that we can get accurate food insecurity rates for all counties in the United States. And one of the stipulations of Feeding America is they wanted it for all counties in the United States. So, as described in this paper, is we work together to create county-level estimates of food insecurity for all the counties across the United States. And the first round of this was released 3 or 4 years ago, and we've been doing it every year since.
What are the state-level determinants of food insecurity that you find in your research?
Okay. So we consider various state-level indicators of food insecurity, namely the percentage of the population that's unemployed, the poverty rate, median income, percentage of the population that is African-American, percentage of the population that is Hispanic, and then the home ownership rate at the state level. We also control for, the technical terms are state fixed effects and year fixed effects. What we found is when we're looking at the full population is that the primary drivers of food insecurity rates are the unemployment rates in a state and the poverty rates in a state and the homeownership rate in the states. Those are the three things that seem to matter most. And out of those is that it's really the unemployment rate for the full population that's driving a lot of this. States with higher unemployment rates, all else equal, have substantially higher rates of food insecurity.
Do you discern any impact of the recent economic and financial crisis in your studies?
So, is that the answer to this will be twofold. The first thing is that the just as a bit of background, from 2007 to 2008, there was a 30% increase in the proportion of the population in the United States that was that is food insecure. So this was a huge, unprecedented increase in the proportion of the population. It went from about 35 million people who were in food insecure households up to about 50 million people that were in food insecure households. So we saw this substantial increase in the number of food insecure households. We could see that a key reason for this was the increase in the unemployment rate and the increase in the poverty rate that we saw due to the Great Recession that occurred from 2007 to 2008. So, on the one hand, we do see within our model why this occurred. What is equally interesting, in my opinion, is that that there was a large coefficient on the year fixed effect for 2008, which means that even though we observed that that there was an increase due to poverty and unemployment and other factors, is that a lot of it remains unexplained, is that something happened from 2007-2008 that's associated with the Great Recession that's not completely explained by the increase in poverty and unemployment. So I can come back to this later in our discussion, but it says a couple things. First, it shows that food insecurity is measuring something related to unemployment and poverty, but it's also measuring something beyond that. In fact, it's to some extent a leading indicator. If we want to see what's happening to the economy, one key thing to look at is what's happening to the food insecurity rate, since it generally precedes increases in poverty and unemployment. And second, this also shows that, you know, we have a lot of work to figure out what exactly is going on with some of these other factors and why, say, there's forces outside of the economic changes that occurred that are especially important.
Where the rubber hits the road is where we could effectively deliver the assistance to address food insecurity. What's the distribution of the estimated food insecurity rates across the counties in the United States?
So in previous work done by USDA, they've shown that there's quite a bit of variation at the state level in food insecurity rates. So we know that there's some geographic distribution, but this geographic distribution in state level rates pales in comparison to the incredible extent of food insecurity rates across the United States. So our most recent work is what we found is that the rates range from 3.9% food insecurity rate in Slope County, North Dakota, all the way up to a 32.8% food insecurity rate in Humphreys County, Mississippi. So between those two, you know, there's 28, almost a 28 percentage point difference between those two counties, reflecting an enormous variation.
One last question. As someone who's been studying food insecurity and poverty for 20 years, you bring a keen insight to this set of policy issues addressing food insecurity and, by association, poverty and inequality. Where do you see us making progress over the last 20 years?
I think that over the past 20 years we've done a lot of neat stuff to be able to address food insecurity in the United States. And I'll concentrate a bit about what's happening what's been happening recently with respect to some of this is, and I just want to emphasize two things. First of all, is that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which is formerly known as the food stamp program, has remained a strong and vibrant part of the social safety net in the United States. SNAP is an amazing program, and it's done really more than anything else to help alleviate food insecurity in the United States. There's an extensive literature that shows that SNAP participants are substantially less likely to be food insecure than eligible non-participants. And so if it wasn't for SNAP, food insecurity rates would be quite a bit higher. So I'm pleased that it still continues to be a strong and vibrant part of the social safety net, despite attacks that have come about from both the left side of the aisle and the right side of the aisle against this program, but it still has remained strong, and hopefully that will continue into the future. So I think that's one positive sign I see. The other positive sign I see about what's been happening is the really generous support of Americans for Feeding America. They donate, you know, millions of hours of their time to this. They're generous donors toward this organization. So both in terms of time, talents, and treasure, is they've just, people have really stepped up to help out Feeding America, especially during the Great Recession. So what that shows to me then is that there's a great deal of concern amongst Americans for alleviating food insecurity. And I believe that this concern that's expressed with this has helped to make it such that food insecurity is not as bad as it will be. And it also means moving forward is that people will continue to be concerned about this issue and try to ascertain various government and non-government methods that can be used to address food insecurity in our country.
How about the contributions to the food banks in general? What's the trend been in the last 10 years or so?
Yeah. So, I know that at least is generally that the donations to these food banks have been rising over the past 10 years. And one key thing is that during the Great Recession is food banks saw an enormous increase in demand for those services. And fortunately is the donors stepped up and continued to donate and in some cases increased the amount of donations they had such that Feeding America could continue to play really a central role in our efforts to alleviate food insecurity in the United States.
Where are we slipping further behind?
So I would respond to this in two ways. First is that I do think that there's a lot more that we can do to address food insecurity in the United States. So to give a couple examples is that I think that SNAP can be made even better. I think that we can re-explore some of the benefit formula such that maybe increase benefits for at least a subset of SNAP recipients who are in greater need. I think that's one area where we can make some improvements. I think we can also have to struggle. You know, we as agricultural economists know the importance of low food prices to helping out the well-being of poor people across in the United States, but across the world. And so I think that making sure that policies continue to keep food prices as low as possible is another key component of our efforts to alleviate food insecurity. So there are ways that I think we can continue to make more progress, and we have to make progress in those areas. And I guess I would encourage things in that direction. The second thing I guess I would emphasize about is where we're slipping further behind is the Great Recession's actually been quite curious, is that the Great Recession officially ended in about 2009. And what we've seen with food insecurity rates, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, is food insecurity rates rose substantially from 2007 to 2008. But they have not fallen at all since then. So the food insecurity rates in 2012 are essentially the same as they were in 2008. Despite the end of the Great Recession for about, you know, 2 or 3 years. So is that's of some concern is that despite the economy improving is that those who are suffering from food insecurity, that hasn't improved at all. And I think that that's one thing we have to continue to think about is why when the economy improves is maybe especially poor persons may be left behind due to these improvements. And I think we have to begin to think carefully about what that means and how we can address those issues.
Craig, many thanks for taking the time to share your insights on this current policy issue that affects all of us.
Hey, thank you, Spiro. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about this and for you taking the time to do so.
The article discussed today, Map the Meal Gap, Exploring Food Insecurity at the Local Level, which was co-authored by Craig Gunderson, Soybean Industry Endowed Professor of Agricultural Strategy at the University of Illinois, Emily Engelhard, Director of Social Policy Research and Analysis at Feeding America, and Elaine Waxman, President of Research and Policy Analysis at Feeding America, can be found in Volume 36, Issue 3 of AEPP. If you have any feedback or follow-up questions, please send an email to podcast@oxfordjournals.org. If you are interested in learning more about AAPP or signing up for free AAPP content alerts, visit aapp.oxfordjournals.org. For more information about the Agricultural and Applied Economics Association, please visit aaea.org. The music featured in today's episode is the song Forward by Northbound. You can find it online at freemusicarchive.org. Thanks for listening.